Hi everyone, this is Danny.
And this is Sharissa, ready to bring you Looking Up.
Starting right after this song.
If you haven't guessed already, the Looking Up show here on Faith FM. My name is Sharissa and I'm joined in studio by my co-host Danny, and we're so excited that you have tuned in for our broadcast this afternoon. It's Wednesday the 20th of November, so we're almost at the end of the year, almost a month out of Christmas. How time flies when you're having fun. How are you, Danny?
I'm praising the Lord, my friend, and it's lovely to be back in the studio and with you and with all our listeners.
Yes, we've got a pan-packed program for them today.
Indeed, yes, we have. And yes, we had a wonderful testimony last week, a week after the election. And today's 2 weeks after the election, so we didn't have an opportunity to really get into that and unpack that from a prophetic point of view. So the good news is we've got this week and a whole bunch more weeks. Well, we'll see. Maybe there might not be that many weeks.
We might be doing this for the rest of the year.
So, I'm looking forward to just really helping us all understand why we are here, what the main purpose is, to recognize that Jesus is coming soon. The things that are taking place around us are taking place at a very rapid pace. And we were told the final movements will be rapid ones. And so we're going to be unpacking for our listeners and be encouraged together that we are on the eve of the soon return of Jesus. So I have entitled this.
Drum roll.
Here we go. I have it.
That was a really bad drum roll, but
It was. It's the best we can do with our organic sound effects. I've entitled this afternoon's presentation, From Trump to the Sound of the Trumpet. Question mark.
This
is part one. So we're going to find out what all that is.
We'll explore the biblical significance of what's happening over there right now.
Absolutely. So very exciting, as well as a number of other things that are taking place that are very much in connection with Bible prophecy. There's just fantastic. So much going on. So anyway, we're looking forward to it.
So true.
So if you've got a friend, tell them to tune in.
Yes. Speaking of which, we have someone who's already told us they're listening. Praise the Lord. Vernon is listening from Canberra. Thanks for letting us know. And we are so glad that you're tuning in. And feel free if anyone else wants to tell us where you're tuning in from. Might be really interesting.
Canberra.
Yeah, Canberra.
Vernon, is it?
Vernon, yes. Vernon.
Hey, by the way, speaking of Canberra, another fantastic show that would dovetail nicely into our show is The Perfect Storm.
That's true.
The Perfect Storm. So you can listen to that on Faith FM. I'm not sure exactly when that airs live, but the Faith FM app and the website will provide for you the podcast of The Perfect Storm. So you got Pastor Justin there. You got Phil Yates. You've got Kyle Morrison heading the show. That trio, they unpack Bible prophecy and current world events as we do.
Yes.
So, I was just listening to them last night and a little bit this morning.
Good.
Making sure that we are on top of things because they're like in the nation's capital. So you'd think that would be really in the know.
They would be really on top of things. So speaking of that, if someone is interested in accessing that program that Danny just mentioned or even the past episodes of this broadcast, they can. Simply go to the faithfm.com.au website and there you will find or even get the app, the Faith FM app. Actually, I would definitely get that because it's great to have when you're driving around and listening in the car. I had someone tell me that they please tell someone at Faith FM that the signal isn't good as they're driving around. And that's unfortunately right now where things are at. They need to get some new radio tower licenses
and
or something.
And it's low-powered.
Low-powered,
so but, they've got a limit.
Yeah.
But the internet.
Yes, that's right. Get the app and then Bluetooth it to your car as you're driving.
Absolutely.
And you can have an uninterrupted, wonderful experience listening to this radio station. So yeah, go to faithfm.com.au and you can browse all past episodes there as podcasts, browsing to your heart's content. So how was your weekend?
It was fantastic. Sunday was a sunny day. So I had the opportunity to go out and do some mountain biking, which I haven't done for ages. I've been away, as you know. Yes. I've been here, there and everywhere. So I had the opportunity of going out to my mountain bike park just down the road from where I live here in Currumbong. And it was wonderful. I spent 3 hours doing that and I realized that I'm not getting any younger. My legs felt like, yes.
Might be time for one of those motorized ones.
So now I'm really trying to hold out, Sharissa, because I know when I go to the motorized, it's all going to fall apart.
That's
so
true.
I'm trying to like pretend for as long as I possibly can.
Good for you.
Anyway, so I managed 3 hours and I managed to still take the dog for a walk after that.
That's good. Well, we made the most of the warmth and we took our guests. We had Dyson and Shona here.
That was very powerful last
week. That was. They left on Monday night back to New Zealand, but we took them to the beach here in Newcastle so they could experience it. And Shona was so happy. She loved it. Because it's too cold in New Zealand to do this sort of thing. So, we had a good time. And, if you had something significant happen on your weekend, we'd love to hear about it too and share it on the radio. But until then, we will be listening to a man named Gavin Chatelier. Have you met him?
Yes, I have. He came to War Hope when I was pastoring there with his tribe.
That's right. He's got like 7 kids and they all sing.
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure.
Six or seven, one of the two.
Yeah. So he's going to
And the last one's called Grace. He says, after that many kids, you need grace.
That's a good one. All right. He's going to bring to us now as water to the thirsty. And then after that, we're going straight into our current events as they relate to Bible prophecy.
to the thirsty, as beauty to the eyes, as strength that follows weakness, as truth instead of lies, as sometime and springtime and summertime to be. So is my Lord, my living Lord, so is my Lord to me. I come in place of clamor, like peace that follows pain, like meeting after parting, like sunshine after rain, like moonlight and starlight and sunlight on the sea. So is my Lord, my living Lord, so is my Lord to me.
Gavin Chatelier bringing to us As Water to the Thirsty, and you're listening to the Looking Up program coming to you live here today, Wednesday, the 20th of November. I forgot to make mention in the opening segment that because it's live, we'd love to hear from people. 0488 817 624 is the number that you can text in any comments, contributions, prayer requests that you'd like to share with this broadcast. Also, we do have a giveaway. We always do with each broadcast. And today's giveaway for this show is a book called Bible Readings, Answers Straight from God's Word. There's about 4,000 questions in this book about Bible topics, and every single question receives an answer from a Bible text. It's amazing. So I'm looking here at the kinds of topics, the Bible, how to study and understand it, questions you might have about sin, its origin, the results, the remedy, about Jesus, about Christian liberty, Christian growth, prayer, Holy Spirit, like, oh, there's so much here, health, the law of God, the kingdom restored, coming events, signs of the times. This is a book you definitely want to have in your library and spend time in with the Bible and just having your faith strengthened. So if you're interested and obtaining this book, feel free to just keep listening and keep that number handy, because we'll give you the code word that you can text into us a little bit later. All right, Pastor Denny, I know you're so excited.
Oh, yes, we've got a lot to talk about, but I do want to just, I'm excited. As I look at the screen there, as I look at our monitor, we've got over 200 sites tuning in live right now. Isn't that exciting? And so we are so thrilled. Welcome. Regarding that. All the way from New Zealand, so that's the furthest east that Faith FM is running live as far as, you know, radio transmitting and all the way to WA. Mm. So we've got a huge time zone. That probably about, what, 6 odd hours at least. Wow. between Auckland and Perth. I think it's about 6 hours. So that's fascinating. And we've got Norfolk as well. So big shout out to anyone in Norfolk who might be listening right now or on the podcast. I still have happy memories from that very special few days that I was there. All right, let's get into some of the headlines. I think what we should first do, Charissa, is we should pray at the beginning of this program, because we're going to be you know, dealing with scripture, Bible prophecy. We're going to be looking at some words that were written over 100 years ago that line up with exactly what's taking place. So we want the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide. So why don't you lead us in a prayer?
Father in heaven, we're thankful that we have this time today to study the Bible. And as we see what's going on in our world, it really makes us want to look to you more, because we see the world's in chaos. So we want to look to you and find our peace and security in Christ. So bless us today. We pray for our listeners. May they be uplifted from the time that they spend listening to this broadcast, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, I'll put my Faith FM hat back on.
It's true. He's wearing the right hat.
I've got my Faith FM hat on, so.
Which no one can see but me.
Yes, indeed. I'm going to get you one. I was kicking myself. Like, Kyle was selling them.
Was he?
And, at our Faith FM conference there in Adelaide. And when I'm on the plane, I'm wearing my hat and I'm thinking, and a thought came, Danny, what about your co-host? You couldn't have thought of her. And I was like, oh, no. So don't worry. Your hat is coming. Christmas is just around the corner, my
that's
friend.
Right, that's right.
It's just around the corner. So anyway, let's begin with what's happening right here in our own backyard, in our nation's capital. We've got the Mad Bill. You remember the Mad Bill?
Remind us.
The Misinformation and Disinformation Bill. It's nicknamed the Mad Bill, and it really is a mad bill. So it's a bill that unfortunately will really dig deep into liberty of conscience, freedom of speech issues, not just religious people, but you know, people who are not of any faith, where the government will decide on what is truth and what is not truth, what can be shared online and what cannot be shared online. Mm-hmm. Like, the government is like the final arbiter, and that's always dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know from past experience, and I'm not talking about just our Australian experience, we know from human history that when the government is in charge of the information, it's 1984. You know, mm-hmm. George Orwell's 1984. And if people are thinking, what on earth is that? Google it and you'll find out all about it. Anyway, we did share last week, I think, that the Misinformation and Disinformation Bill passed through the lower house of parliament, federal parliament, by a substantial majority. Wow. And now it's headed to the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And Labor are real desperate to pass it.
Mm.
However, the good news is it appears in the Senate it may not get up. So we may not have this bill passed.
That would be a blessing.
That would be a huge blessing. So I do want to encourage you, if you have a crossbench senator, if you reside in Tasmania, that would be Jackie Lambie, WA, Fatima Payman, ACT, David Pocock, Gerard Rennick, Queensland, Tammy Tyrrell, Tasmania, Lydia Thorpe, she was in the news again this week. She's from Victoria, David Van Victoria. If you have any of those senators, drop them a line, as in if you're one of those states, Tassie, WA, ACT, Queensland, Victoria. If these are the crossbench senators, they're the ones that are going to make the decision. So, because the numbers are pretty split between, you know, the Liberal and National Party are not going to vote it up from what they've said. The Greens and Labor will. And so these crossbenchers, they're going to have the final say.
Mm-hmm.
So let's pray for these individuals, and please drop them a line. Drop them a line and encourage them to vote this legislation down. It appears that many, if not most of them, will be voting it down. If that's the case, we will breathe a sigh of relief.
Yes.
and we will seek to fight for another day. Because that'll impact what we can say on the radio. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this information is not only broadcast on the radio, but we upload it on the internet.
Yeah. And you think about what happened in the UK just a couple of weeks back about thought crimes. Remember that?
Yeah, true. Yeah. Well, that's been going on for a little while.
I can't believe we're even talking about people praying
within themselves, within the vicinity of an abortion clinic.
That's right.
That has been designated as a safe space. So they're not talking to anyone. They're just quietly there praying to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that is considered
a crime.
A crime.
A thought crime.
A thought crime. In fact, on the Perfect Storm, I was just listening to them, and they were saying, and I've got to get this right, that in the UK now, the government there of the day, Stamer, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. Anyway, they passed a legislation in regards to what people put up on the internet, whether it's appropriate or not, and some people have gone to jail. Because of what they've put on the internet, which is not necessarily bad, but it's considered hate speech, and so forth. They've gone to jail.
That's amazing.
Like, I'm going to have to Google it, but I'm trusting the guys that they were giving me the right information.
I just find that crazy. There's people out there who just post everything without any thought.
Absolutely.
And they get away with it, and then someone posts something.
Absolutely. So we're really cracking down. I mean, just speaking of crimes that the government is really cracking down, the Heil Hitler sign. You do that anywhere in public and someone reports you or you're caught on camera, you realize that's a criminal offense. Now you can go to jail.
Wow.
For doing the sign of Heil Hitler. So that's the, I don't know what it's called, but it's an anti-Nazi sign. And, you can go to jail.
Wow.
So we can see things are creeping up. I'm not saying that we should, you know, we should do that sign. I totally oppose what happened, you know, during Hitler's regime. That was one of the darkest periods in human history. But it just goes to show, you know, once upon a time.
The temperature is rising.
So let's move on from there. And my sister, Lydia, she sent me this.
Our foreign correspondent.
We're going to get to America in a little bit, but I just want to quickly deal with some of these because these are, you know, just telling us the signs of the times where we are. This headline was from The Guardian, and it wasn't so long ago, October 24, and the headline was, Mother Says AI Chatbot Led Her Son to Kill Himself in Lawsuit Against Its Maker. So this woman, Megan Garcia, said Sewell, that is her 14-year-old son, used character AI obsessively before his death and alleged negligence and wrongful death. In a nutshell, he was having a conversation with this AI, you know, chatbot, and he wasn't in a good place and he wanted to, you know, he was contemplating taking his life, and this AI chatbot was giving him encouragement to do that, and he took his life. So the mother is now suing this particular AI company, character.ai, saying that they're culpable. They have played a huge part in the death of her son. This is where we've got to.
That's incredible. Charissa.
This is not a human being. This is artificial intelligence that has played a huge part, and the courts will decide on whether they're liable or not to take his life. So this is the kind of world we live in. And this just tells us that, you know, things can't continue on for very much longer at all.
Speaking of crazy worlds, I think I sent this to you, but did you see the article that I sent you about a man who married himself?
I did. I didn't know what to make of that. Like half-half.
Half, yeah. Well,
there's a photo
of him in the article of him half in a tuxedo and the other half long hair and in a dress. I don't know. It's a crazy thing, but he's...
So it's not an AI image. It's the real deal.
Yes.
Person, obviously you can't marry yourself. What country was this in?
France.
Okay. A lot of interesting things happen in France.
And he's very happy, apparently.
Wow. Well, that is amazing. That's amazing. So very happy with himself. Hey, talk about loving yourself.
Yeah.
You know, nothing wrong with loving yourself. That's taking it to another level.
I don't know.
Oh, boy. Well, the G20 has been taking place.
Mm-hmm.
Also, COP29 has been taking place. So there's a couple of big meetings that have been taking place. Yeah, the G20 took place in Brazil. And, yeah, there was an interesting headline about Biden missing the family photo at his last G20 summit. You know, he was sort of wandering around in the crowd. A couple of other leaders missed it as well. But I didn't want to bring up the photo. That's irrelevant. But what was pointed out was now that Biden's moving off the scene, the world leaders, from what the reporters were saying, they were kind of not showing much interest at all in Biden.
Yeah, I saw a picture of him being relegated to the back of the photo.
Well, no, he wasn't even in the photo.
Oh,
there was this G20. That might have been another photo.
Oh,
this,
maybe at the same
there was an APEC. There was an APEC summit as well. And
not even in the photo.
No, he wasn't even in the photo. And when the reporters, some of the Americans,
I can't imagine them doing that to Trump.
Could you imagine that?
If they did, they'd hear about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, so yeah, so the guard is changing, and we're going to be talking about that and how that connects with Bible prophecy.
Well, we've during our conversation here, we've been hearing from more listeners. We've got David listening from WA, and he attends the Clarkson Seventh-day Adventist Church there. So it's good to have you joining us, David. And also Mark has a question, a Bible question. Should we take it now or take it a bit later?
Well, field it to me now, but we'll probably deal with it later.
It says, "Hi, Sharissa and Danny, can you please plain in simple terms and the Genesis reference to," I think he means explain, "the Genesis reference to he will crush his head and bruise his heel." Thanks.
Oh, yeah, Genesis 3:15. Yeah. We'll deal with that. That's a good question. Thank you for that. Mark, is it?
Yes, Mark. We'll come back to it.
All right, we've got about a minute and a half before we launch into another song. This is really making headlines. This was a headline: Kremlin warns U.S. will be risking World War III if it has approved American weapons inside Russia. So for the first time in 1,000 days since the war began between the Ukraine and Russia, when Russia invaded Ukraine, the Americans have allowed the Ukrainians to use American-made long-range missiles to go deep into Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Russians have said that's a red line. You cross that, that means we are at war with NATO. We're not only at war with Ukraine, but we're at war with NATO. And guess what? I had on the news today, Russia says Ukraine fired U.S.-made tactical missiles at military facility in Bryansk border region. So the tension is really heating up. Now, the Republicans are not very happy. They're kind of feeling that Biden is deliberately, you know, throwing fuel on the fire.
Yeah.
Just before he has to leave. He's going to be leaving in 2 months' time, just to make life more miserable for Donald Trump. So anyway, we'll see where that goes. But this all tells us about these wars and rumors of wars that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24.
Absolutely.
We are seeing that.
We've got so much to talk about still. Let's listen to Rick Ferrey bring to us a beautiful song, "Mansion Over the Hilltop." I used to listen to him sing for our school worships when he was a chaplain at Wurunga Adventist Primary. So, Rick Ferrey, "Mansion Over the Hilltop."
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that pure as gold. not discouraged. I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
You're listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Do you have Bible questions? Join me, Lyle, at 5 o'clock every Thursday during Afternoons with Sil. We give Bible answers for all your difficult questions. Our commitment? We will leave no Bible question unanswered. So send in your questions to The Shell Show on 0488 880856.
Faith looks up.
This is the Looking Up Show. You're listening to us live. We have a giveaway, if you haven't heard already, with today's broadcast, a beautiful book, Bible Readings, Straight Answers from God's Word. Basically, it's a book that has a collection of 4,000 Bible questions that you would want to know the answer to. And to each question, there's a Bible verse answer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the Bible
like
has the answer.
The perfect book.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we did have a question come through.
Yeah, we did.
Yes.
We did. And would you like to address that right
sure,
now?
Sure. That was from, remind me?
This was from Mark.
Mark. Okay. Thank you so much, Mark. All right. The scripture that you're referring to is in Genesis 3:15. And I will simply read it first, and then I'll give the short answer that you have asked for. And I will put, this is God speaking to Adam and Eve after the fall, and they are still in the garden. They haven't been evicted as yet. That will happen very, very soon after these words are shared. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. God is speaking to Adam and Eve. And between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Now, this is a prophecy, the first prophecy in connection with God sending the Messiah. The Messiah is the capital S seed, and I'm reading from the New King James Version here, and capital S seed is in connection with the Messiah, and the Apostle Paul, he picks up on that in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And God says the Messiah will come, and he will be the one that will destroy Satan through his sacrifice. He will take the punishment of sin. That is, his heel will be bruised. And that's in connection with the cross. And it's interesting, Charissa, that Calvary is also called the place of the skull.
Mm-hmm.
It's also
Golgotha.
Called Golgotha, the place of the skull. So that's a very interesting name for Golgotha. Yeah, meaning the name of the skull. And so you have, when Jesus' cross went into the ground, you could say, in a symbolic sense, and he died and he cried out, "It is finished." He paid the price. He gave Adam and Eve and all of their descendants who choose to put their faith and trust in God, in his Messiah, Jesus Christ, the opportunity to re-enter the Garden of Eden, the garden filled with endless pleasure and delight, because that's what Eden means. It means pleasure and delight. Mm-hmm. to re-inhabit that beautiful place that God designed for us. So, yeah, so that's what the main meaning of that scripture is, the enmity. And God actually, probably do need to mention that, God says, I will place this enmity between you and the woman. In other words, I will place within you the opportunity for you to choose whether you'll be on the enemy's side or on my side. And if God did not place that within the heart and the mind of human beings, guess what? We would automatically choose the side of the serpent.
Our default would be
the serpent side. But God placed freedom of choice within the human race. Well, it was always there. It was always there. But now
He protected it.
He protected
and preserved it.
Preserved it. And He's given us the power, the power and the strength to be able to choose Him.
Praise God. I hope, Mark, you got that answer. That was a really good Bible answer right there. So thank you so much for sending that in. And if there's anyone else out there who has a burning Bible question you'd like a Bible answer to, feel free to let us know. We'd love to hear from you. 0488-817-624. And we'll give the code word a little bit later on.
Yeah, we will. Probably in the next segment. The next segment.
Sure.
All right. Well, let me just finish off here. We were talking about these long-range missiles that the United States, for the first time in 1,000 days since the war began, has given permission for Ukraine, the president of Ukraine, to utilize, to go deep into Russian territory, to, you know, probably attack the bases, the military bases and so forth. And in connection with that, the Kremlin or the Russian, you know, President Vladimir Putin has said that you are taking us to the brink of World War III. And 2 hours after that first article came out that I shared just before the break, this was a headline. 2 hours afterwards, so this all today, Vladimir Putin signs revised Russian doctrine to lower threshold for potential nuclear strike. Did you understand what that entails?
That it's more possible.
It's more possible. Now, let me just read to you here in short. This is what this all means. Russian President Vladimir Putin has signed a revised doctrine to lower the threshold for the Kremlin to authorize a nuclear strike. So now the bar has gone lower.
So we're edging closer to the threat of a nuclear war.
Closer to midnight. That doomsday clock is getting ever closer to midnight. It's at 90 seconds to midnight.
Yeah.
It's probably going to
get. And
they're
going to check it in January, is it?
They will. They check it in January. Every January they update it and they check it. They either leave it, they push it further back or further forward.
Well, you know, if it wasn't for the Bible, that would be a possibility of wiping the world out.
Yeah.
We could blow ourselves up. But the Bible says that's not how the world's ending.
And where do we find scriptures in connection with that?
With the world.
Yeah, that humans will not destroy this world.
Well, it says Jesus is going to come.
Jesus is going to come.
And lift his faithful
followers
from this planet.
Absolutely. And go to another scripture, Revelation chapter 7. This is one of my go-to passages to give people peace. Because when you read headlines like that, or when you see headlines like that on the news, and I can guarantee you, if you're watching SBS, this will be a headline item tonight. I can guarantee that. And it'll probably be a headline on the other news networks, but especially SBS World News. Yeah. And here in Revelation chapter 7, it's in connection with God sealing his people. Which happens before Jesus comes. This is where the world's population will be divided into two. This is where that final polarization takes place, Sharissa, where we've got the saved and the lost, where we've got those who have the seal of God and sadly those who are the lost who have the mark of the beast. And I love Revelation chapter 7 and verses 1 and 2. If you could read that for us, please.
After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea.
And verse 3.
Saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads.
Okay, what does this scripture tell us?
Well, God's holding back the winds of strife
until the sealing has taken place. Okay, so there's going to be war and conflict and there's going to be disasters and a whole bunch of mayhem going on as the gospel is being shared, as the everlasting gospel is going throughout the world. to give everyone an opportunity to make their decision. God will hold back the winds of passion and strife. Mm. Hallelujah. Isn't
praise
that good
God
news?
For that.
So regardless of how close to midnight the doomsday clock gets, regardless of what Vladimir Putin says, regardless of what Donald Trump may say in 2 months' time, regardless of what anyone says, God is holding back the winds of strife. And God,
He's in control,
has the final say.
Praise the Lord.
He has
for that.
The final say. Praise the Lord that, you know, it's not Donald Trump or Russia or anyone else that will determine by the press of a button what happens when it comes to, you know, this nuclear holocaust. But God will determine that.
Amen.
So anyway, we praise the Lord for that. But yeah, he goes on, he says, the doctrine allows Russia to consider a strike if faced by aggression with the use of conventional weapons. It also says an attack against Russia by a non-nuclear power with the participation or support of a nuclear power would be seen as a joint attack. So
it's a very sensitive time.
Very sensitive time. So anyway, praise the Lord, we've got scripture, yes. and we're very thankful about that. All right, we're about to get to the United States of America, but before we do, there's a great story that you shared in connection with faith. We're talking about those who are sealed, and we know that the sealing at the end of time will be in connection to worship.
Yes.
And we've got a young man here who has made a big call, a huge call to put God ahead of his career. Tell us about that.
So my mom actually alerted me to this one, and it's this is from The Sun. I think it's a UK, The Sun in the UK website, and the headline says, Hand of God, quote, I've quit football at 22 to become a churchgoer. I don't want to play on Saturdays because it's my day of rest. He quits football just 2 months after signing for a new club. Top flight champion Sylvan Walner has quit football aged at just 22 in favor of going to church every Saturday. The defender won the Swiss League title with hometown club FC Zurich 2 years ago. Walner has 10 youth level caps for Switzerland and was tipped to break into their senior side. He landed a move to Austrian
Bundesliga.
Yep, that in September. Thanks. Penning a 2-year deal, but he has now ended his contract by mutual consent after putting faith ahead of football.
I love that.
Yeah, Walner insisted, I am a devout Christian and I read the Bible. I make my own decisions about my life. I wish to follow Jesus Christ, and as a result, the biblical day of rest has become important to me. I thought that was really well worded.
That was powerful.
As a footballer, this means that I no longer want to play professionally on Saturdays. This is my personal conviction, which I have reached in the last few days. God bless him.
Amen.
I am not yet a member of any church, he says. I want to thank with all my heart the official staff and players. I also want to say a big thank you to all the people who have accompanied and supported me in my sporting career. Walner is a believer in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, he says down the bottom, the article.
So he's probably doing Bible studies with someone from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, whether it's a pastor or a lay member, but he's obviously doing studies and he's come under conviction as he has studied what the Bible has to say about the biblical Sabbath.
Yeah, so again, he's a believer in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which is what you just said, who observe Saturday, not Sunday, as the day of rest. And that was just an amazing article.
That was so powerful. I love that. You don't come across article like, he's 22 years old.
But I think we'll see more of this.
He put faith ahead of football.
Yeah.
Faith ahead of football.
And I love how he said it's a conviction he's come to in the last few days. And that's a real something I think all of us could pay attention to. When the Holy Spirit convicts us of something, when God says, this is the way, walk you in it, the best thing to do is act on it straight away. Because the longer we delay, the devil can come in and steal away that precious conviction, which is actually a blessing from God. It points you to a path of safety. It's pointing you to a place of refuge in Christ, to truth, away from error. And if you don't act on it, you'll lose it and you'll miss what God is wanting to do in your life.
Totally agree with you, Charissa. And that's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation.
Yeah.
You know, now is the day. And if you will hear his voice today, do not harden your hearts. It's not about tomorrow or next week. Can't do anything about yesterday.
Yeah.
Today, now is the day.
Right
you
now.
You know, make haste.
Yes.
You know, Jesus said to Zacchaeus, you know, I'm coming to your house today. He didn't say, look, you know, have you got any time next week?
I remember reading about someone who was commenting on this subject, and they said much conviction is murdered in a church pew in the sense that someone is convicted on something, but then they just walk out and they don't act on it and it doesn't transform. God can't do anything in their life. But God bless this young man who's stepped out in faith.
Powerful testimony.
And the ripple effect has gone around the world here in Australia
Absolutely.
And on Faith FM.
And 22 years old.
22.
Hallelujah.
And, you know, it's a struggle for many people with kids who have, you know, an interest in it and an
affinity
for sports.
Well, this guy is brilliant. I mean, he's very talented. He was, you know, seen as being part of the national team.
Yeah.
You know, so he's got money galore at his fingertips. Money,
well, he can
fame,
retire.
He can. By the time he gets to 30, he will be a multimillionaire if he continues playing football with the talent that he has. But he put faith ahead of football, and that's powerful. And you know what? In the end times, God's people will put God and faithfulness to him ahead of everything. Mm-hmm. Buying and selling, Revelation 13 tells us, and we're going to go there today, even their very lives, they're going to put God and being faithful to him. They're the ones that are sealed that we just read about. They're the ones that are sealed.
That's a beautiful point. When you think about it, Jesus, he put us ahead of his own life.
Yeah, like he led out.
He did. He set that example first for
Absolutely.
Us, and now it's just our love response to him in return for what he's done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we've only got a minute left and just a couple more things, and then we're going to be diving into the United States in prophecy for the next three segments. COP29's been going on. Where has it been going on? I wrote it down here somewhere. I don't know where I wrote it down. But anyway, it's going on somewhere. Here we go, in Baku, Azerbaijan, from November 11 to 22. And Pope Francis has sent through a message, and this was from the National Catholic Register. Pope Francis urges human-centered approach to climate finance at UN COP29 summit. So this is the message that he has shared through his state, Secretary of State, to be shared on his behalf. And so when you read the article, he's saying we need to have a human-centered approach to climate change and climate finance. Once again, this common good, this human-centered, it's kind of been in the background because of what's been happening in America and elsewhere, but this is following that same theme that's leading us to that final showdown.
Yeah. The Collingsworth family, if he hung the moon.
If he holds the spare.
Collingsworth family bringing to us If He Hung the Moon, and I always enjoy the sound of the family as they sing. The Collingsworth family, beautiful, beautiful music here, and you're listening to the Looking Up program. We want to let you know now the code word for our giveaway. Indeed. We've been plugging it a little while now. Bible readings, straight answers from God's word, a book that compiles over 4,000 questions that have found 4,000 Bible answers in the texts of scripture. So you will love this book if you're interested in knowing what the Bible has to say about a lot of things. It's right there. So the code word for today, there's no number here that Shell has left, so I think everyone could be a winner. What's the code word, Danny?
It's LU24 consider.
All right.
LU24 consider, CONSIDR, the word consider. LU24 consider.
Consider. All right.
All one word.
All one word, no spaces, no emojis. Text that through to 0488-817-624, and you will be receiving this gift. LU24 consider.
Fantastic. And it's a great book to have if you don't have any internet access and you can't Google.
Absolutely.
You can't Google what the answer is to your particular scriptural reference that you have a question about. So yeah, great little book to have in your library. All right, my friend. Well, let's now move into what's happening in the land of the free and the home of the brave.
The home of the very brave.
The very brave. Yes, the very brave. So look, right from the get-go, we need to say what has been said, over and over again, but we're going to look at it from a prophetic point of view. What happened on November 5 in the United States, is really unprecedented. Now, why do I say unprecedented? Because Donald Trump, in being re-elected as the president of the United States, this is the greatest political comeback in U.S. history.
Yeah.
Against the odds. You talk about the odds. So you've heard that over and over and over again. As I was thinking about that, it's like a resurrection, a symbolic resurrection, because come January 6th, you know, with January 6th, we all know, we just mentioned January 6th, like September 11th, October 7th, these dates are infamous. People know what we mean by just mentioning those dates. He was a pariah.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wanted to know him.
Everyone's embarrassed to say they liked him, and there were a lot of closet Trumpers out there. Oh,
they were all the who's who in the political Republican zoo were distancing themselves from Donald Trump. And so if you would have told someone that in 4 years' time, or less than 4 years' time, Donald Trump would be reelected and he'd have the keys to the White House again, you would have been laughed out of town.
For sure.
That was a resurrection like no other when it comes to, you know, politics. And it reminded me really of this sea beast in Revelation 13 that has a resurrection. Mm. Isn't that true? Mm. The sea beast in Revelation 13:3, it says, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've had these resurrections that don't happen very often. That, speaking of the Roman papacy, that's in connection with the Roman papacy, Revelation 13:3. But so we've got this really interesting scenario. And how does that all fit in with Bible prophecy? All right. Let me just share, when I shared this with Charissa, I showed her these two front covers, as many of our listeners know. I subscribe to Time magazine. Jesus said we ought to be mindful of the signs of the times. So I am mindful of the signs of the times.
You have a biblical reason for this.
Yes, I do. In September, the front cover of Time magazine, it was September 30, has got a picture of Donald Trump in his golf buggy, and he's ended up in the sand trap. The golf ball's there in the sand trap, and he's trying to reverse out, and there are two words on the front cover, in trouble. In trouble. Okay, and we're not talking golf here. Everybody knows what that's in connection with. He was in serious trouble. He was doing well, but all of a sudden Kamala came to town. She took over the reins from Joe Biden, and now it was a different ball game. A very different ball game. You know, the joy, the hope, the optimism, we're not going back and everything. And everybody thought, okay, well, we thought Donald Trump had it in the bag, but then with Biden, but now all of a sudden we've got a new kid on the block, and she's very smart. She's a lawyer. She's a younger person, female, and so on and so forth. A whole bunch of reasons why people thought, you know, he's in trouble. And obviously they're going to try and make the most of it. Fast forward to November 2024, and the front cover of Time magazine is what?
Looks like Superman. It's President-elect Donald Trump standing behind his podium after a victory.
After the victory speech. And here he has, Trump will fix it. Trump Vance, make America great again.
Like Bob the Builder.
Trump will fix it. So how does all this operate? Where do we go with all this? There was an interesting story that was covered by Sky News, okay, 20-minute little doco, and the headline was New World Order, Global Shakeup, Donald Trump Strategic Moves, or Donald Trump's Strategic Moves. It covers like this global shakeup, and indeed we have a serious global shakeup. Now, we're going to discover that Revelation 13 talks about the United States in Bible prophecy very, very clearly. And so we're going to take a look at some of those scriptures as we go along. So firstly, let's take a look at some of these headlines in connection with what is taking place. Firstly, we talked about, you know, Donald Trump and his criminal cases. Do you know that he had over 100 indictments on him? And he still does.
I didn't know that.
A convicted felon, assassinated almost once, by a millimeter, by a whisker.
And had two other attempts that were foiled.
Was there two others, were there? Oh, wow.
So
there
was the one. Of course, another one that they managed to catch before he got close to the
stadium. Wow. So three attempts in a matter of months. And so, you know, we've got all this going on, and this is just absolutely, you know, incredible. Then what we want to take a look at is what Donald Trump said. Okay, there's a lot of people that are very nervous, especially in Democrat circles, very, very nervous of what he may do, because he said very clearly that he would be the retribution. He says, I am your retribution. I will make things right. He said in 2016, you know, he declared, I'm your voice. And then he went on at this CPAC event this conservative Republican convention, and he says, "Today I add, I am your warrior, I am your justice, and for those who have been wronged and betrayed, I am your retribution."
Mm.
So there's a lot of people that are nervous, what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. You know, is this going to be a tit for tat? I mean, he's been, you know, rightly or wrongly, he's been taken to court. He's been prosecuted. He's been impeached on two occasions. And so we don't know where things are going to go. And we know that the polarization is only going to deepen, Sharissa.
Yeah.
It's only going to deepen. And then you've got one of his biggest supporters, you could say, you know, the strategist, the key strategist in his first election win, Steve Bannon. He just came out of prison. He was in prison for, I think, 2 or 3 months, 4 months, actually. He was 4 months in prison. And basically what he said was, the time has come for the hunted to become the hunter. That's
Speaking
all he said.
Speaking of Trump, right?
That's all he said. He didn't go any further. That's all he literally said at his press conference after coming out of prison after spending 4 months there.
Mm.
The hunted will now become the hunter.
Wow.
So this just stokes that division, that hatred more and more and more. Now, why is this significant when it comes to Bible prophecy? Okay, Bible prophecy says that the United States will go through turmoil and transition such as we cannot even begin to imagine. Mm-hmm. So let's start off with Revelation 13:11, and then we're going to go and take a look at some of the things that are taking place right now and how this all plays in. So this is going to be a bit of back and forth with headlines and scripture.
And so just before I read it, we have had another question come through from mm-hmm. an 11-year-old listener.
Wow, 11!
In WA. So just letting you know, we did get your question. We will get to it in a minute. Shall I read it to you now and then we'll come back to it?
Sure.
Looking up show Bible question. What will happen to the Christians at the very end of time? From Myla, age 11 in Western Australia.
Oh, that's a fantastic question, Myla. Let's answer that right now.
Right now.
You know what 11-year-olds are like. They're not going to wait.
I don't think she wants to wait.
She doesn't want to wait. She wants to know right away. So what's going to happen with the Christians at the end of time? Mm-hmm. All right. So in short, Myla, the Christians at the end of time will face a very, very challenging time if they want to remain faithful to Jesus. And we're going to be taking a look at that in this passage today here in Revelation 13. But the good news is, Myla and everybody else, Jesus said to his disciples the final words in Matthew 28 that are recorded there in verse 20, where Jesus says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of time."
Amen. And the great hope of every Christian is in the coming of Jesus.
Amen.
And as Danny just said, you know, he's promised he's with us always. And
I will never leave you nor forsake you is another beautiful promise.
Yes. And then the hope we have in the coming of Jesus, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, 17, talking about the coming of Jesus, where those who love Jesus, when he comes, they will be caught up to meet him in the air when he comes. And that is something to really look forward to.
Amen. Amen. So, and those who go through the great tribulation, as Sharissa has pointed out, they will await Jesus, whether it be whilst they're alive or they may be resting in their graves, because there will be martyrs. There will be martyrs before Jesus comes. Revelation 13 tells us. But if you want to read these beautiful words from Revelation 7, we read earlier from Revelation 7, 1 to 3, but here we have a scene of those who are the saved. Revelation 7, verse 14 and 15, if you want to read those two verses.
"And I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' So he said to me, 'These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them.'"
So those who have come out of this great tribulation, that's that final end time of trouble. That great tribulation, where God's people will make a choice that they're going to serve God no matter what the cost. Amen. We're going to be faithful to God no matter what the cost. And they have come out of that great tribulation. They've been faithful to God. They have put their faith and trust in Jesus and Him alone. It says they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That means they've accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They have put Him first. They have said, like the three Hebrew boys on the plain of Jura, you can put us in the fiery furnace. Our God can save us. But even if He doesn't, we will choose to be faithful to Him, like Daniel in the lion's den. Faithful to God and God alone. Mm. And so it says they will serve Him day and night in His temple, and He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. So the good news is we know how the story ends.
Amen. The back of the book, the Lamb wins.
Absolutely. The Lamb wins. So Isla and all our listeners, hold on to Jesus. Yes, there are some stormy times ahead, and only God knows those who will go through those stormy times, but He will be with them. First and foremost, and secondly, He will see them through to the sea of glass.
Amen.
And that's the most important thing. And it says at the end of chapter 7, it says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Mm. He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. So that's really, really powerful.
Amen.
So thank you for that wonderful question.
Yes, thank you, Myla.
All right, so let's continue reading here. So you're going to read Revelation 13:11.
Sure. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon.
All right, so we've only got 50 seconds left and counting. So this is speaking of the United States of America. Those two horns represent the two pillars that the United States was built on, which was Protestantism and Republicanism. That is, a church without a pope and a state without a king.
Right.
So religious and political freedom. But this nation that is Christ-like in its beginnings and its constitution, its declaration of independence, will ultimately speak like the dragon. And who's the dragon?
The devil.
And Satan. And so we're going to see how we are beginning to see the fulfillment of these words potentially, and how that's all playing out after this song. Sharissa is going to take us away through. Who are we listening
to
now? We
got Carly now.
Oh, Carly.
One of my favorites, Carly Fletcher, bringing to us one she wrote, Always Loved, featuring Nabil Peter.
Lonely, broken heart, rejected or abused, lied to or displaced, manipulated, used, searching for that love that never ever ends, a love that will not let you down, a love that never fails. Know that I am the same, or controlled, unwanted or despised, neglected, left alone, put down or criticized, broken, led astray, you've given everything, but there's a love just waiting to fill your every need. Yeah.
Everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right. And if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. It's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun. So catch you then.
Carly Fletcher, always loved, and you're listening to the Looking Up program. A reminder, our giveaway, Bible readings, 4,000 questions about Bible topics, and each one answered with a Bible text in an amazing little book all compiled together, Bible readings, straight answers from God's Word. The code word is L-U-2-4, consider, C-O-N-S-I-D-E-R. All of that, all together, one word. Text it through to 0488-817-624, L-U-2-4, consider. Text it through to 0488-817-624.
All right, my friend. Well, here we go. We continue. So we're in Revelation 13, verse 11.
Right.
Okay. So we can do a study on this as far as, you know, this being the United States of America. We can do a study, and we have done that in the past, and we will in the future again. But here we have, the contrast between a lamb that has two horns, which is this separation of church and state, this civil and religious liberty, with the dragon. And the dragon, Satan, is he into civil and religious liberty?
No.
No. What's he into?
Force.
Coercion, force, manipulation, deception. That's what he's in.
Yes.
So how do we go from being a nation that believes in, you know, the land of the free, home of the brave, you know, the First Amendment of the Constitution, which is, you know, Congress shall make no law establishing religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. There you have the two clauses. You know, you've got the two horns working side by side, and the rest of that First Amendment is on civil liberties, you know, freedom of speech. How do we go from that to coercion, manipulation, force, and persecution? Isn't that like just an incredible scripture? All right, so let's take a look at how these two are working together. So I'm going to start off with all the positive stuff of what I see happening so far in this coming administration, and then we're going to go to where the dangers lie, where the dangers lie in what I am hearing and seeing taking place right now. All right, so you've heard of Project 2025?
Yes.
All right. We know that Donald Trump distanced himself from that, said, I had nothing to do with it, don't even know much about it, don't care for it at all. Remember that? All right. So I decided, all right, let's leave Project 2025, that 900-page document. Let's go to where he has officially put his, you know, policies. Okay. And if you go to Agenda 47.
All right.
So if you go to Agenda 47, you'll be able to track with me as we go along. So that's his homepage. Mm-hmm. That's his policies. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. He's got a whole bunch of videos on there that he's been recording for the last couple of years on lots of different matters. So let's take a look at the things that are in relation to what God has ordained for government to have, you know, to have control over. Because we've got the Ten Commandments. You remember the first four?
Yep.
Deal with our relationship with God.
Yes.
And the last six deal with our relationship with one another. So the government's prerogative and responsibility is to deal with those last six. All right. Not in connection with the first four, which are in connection with our relationship with God. All right. And Jesus made that clear in Matthew 22, where he said, you know, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, render unto God the things that are God's. And you know, that same language of rendering is used by the Apostle Paul.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Romans chapter 13, which we won't right now, but there Paul talks about rendering to the king, you know, the political establishment, the things that belong to the state, taxes and so on and so forth, but rendering unto God the things that belong to God. You know, using that very similar language of rendering. So let's take a look at some of his policies and just briefly, and we're not going to go through and read them all, but he's got 20 sort of major ones. And you tell me if these are what the government ought to be, you know, taking care of. Seal the border and stop the immigration invasion. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the government's responsibility?
Yes.
Absolutely. Carry out the largest deportation operation in American history. Well, that can be debatable. That's going to create a lot of angst.
Yes.
But anyway, that's in connection with
what that would be a government action.
It's a government action. Okay. Inflation, ending inflation and making government. America affordable again. Government. Make America the dominant energy producer in the world.
Government.
Drill, baby, drill, that is, as he says over again. Yeah, that's government. Okay. Large tax cuts for workers.
Government.
Government. Here's number seven. Look at number seven. Defend our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and our fundamental freedoms, including freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and the right to keep and bear arms. Is that part of the government's responsibility?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Spot on. That's the First Amendment there, mm-hmm. and the Second Amendment, mm-hmm. which is, you know, bearing arms.
Mm-hmm.
Number eight, prevent World War III, restore peace in Europe and in the Middle East, and so on and so forth. Is that part of the government's responsibility?
Yes.
Well, it can play a role
yes.
in that. Absolutely. Because we're dealing with, you know, political matters.
Yes.
I'm not sure how successful.
Well, yeah, it's dealing with the whole world there.
It is. It is. And he wants to build a great Iron Dome missile defense shield over our entire country. All made in America,
mm-hmm.
he says. Here's another one. End the weaponization of government against the American people.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yes, government. So far,
everything's
all these.
Government actions.
Absolutely. Number 10, stop the migrant crime epidemic. Okay, once again,
drugs,
dealing with. Yep, once again. Rebuild our cities.
Government.
Yes, government. Strengthen, modernize the military.
Government.
Keep the US dollar as the world representative.
Government.
Medicare.
Government.
Cancel the electric vehicle mandate. I'm not sure how he's going to be mates with Elon Musk after saying that.
Well, they seem pretty close.
They are very, very close. All right, that's government.
Yep.
All right. Now, this is interesting. This is interesting where we're going to next, because this now starts moving into different territories. Still government, mm-hmm. I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Number 16 he's got here, cancel federal funding for any school pushing critical race theory, radical gender ideology and other inappropriate racial, sexual, or political content on our children.
Yeah. Well, that's a government action that can take it, because it's government action that brought it in.
Absolutely.
But it's fueled by Christian principles.
Exactly. So
yeah.
You know where we're going with
yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah.
So we see where we're about to launch off. Okay. So that's on his 20-point policy
that's
platform.
That's a good pickup.
Okay. Number 17. Here's another one. Keep men out of women's sports.
Again, appealing to Christian principles.
Absolutely. Although he doesn't have abortion, you know, against abortion on this, which used to be part of the platform for the GOP, and marriage between a man and a woman, although they don't have that here, but in principle they do.
Yes.
In principle they do.
That's right.
Okay. And I'm just going to go to number 20. The last one, unite our country by bringing it to new and record levels of success. Is that part of the government's response?
Well, it should be a government desire.
Okay. Does this connect with Make America Great Again?
Yeah.
Have you heard anything about bringing God back into the nation?
Yeah.
God bless America.
Yes.
All right. So, folk.
Just as a little insert here, it's interesting. I've been speaking with a couple of Christians who are not of my faith persuasion, but they're Christians, and they're so excited about that Trump has come back into, well, he will come back into office for these very reasons that you identified right here at the end, which is really interesting.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Now, what I've got here is a breakdown, a sort of closer examination. If you go to that platform there, Charissa, and you go to a little bit deeper, if you want to go to where there's a bit more of an itemized version of some of those core items.
Yes.
You'll come up with, how many of them? There's about 7, 8, 9, 10 or so. There's 10 of them. There's 10 of them that are really core. I want to go to number 7. Okay.
What page do you want?
Chapter 7, cultivate great K-12 schools leading to great jobs and great lives for young people.
Got it.
All right. You found it?
Yep.
All right. So you go down to number 7. Mm-hmm. Okay. Great stuff. Lots and lots of great stuff in there, but there is a big but. So, like, great principals and great teachers, praise the Lord. Yeah, go for it. Universal school choice. Yes, absolutely. Prepare students for jobs and careers. Yes. Safe, secure, and drug-free schools. Amen. Heartily agree. Restore parental rights. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Where the parents are in charge of their children primarily and not the school teachers or the government. Amen. Mm-hmm. You'd agree with that. You got a little tacker.
Of course.
Absolutely. All right. So we agree with that. Knowledge and skills, not CRT, which is that critical race theory, and gender indoctrination. Absolutely. We agree with that. Mm-hmm. That's not the school's role to indoctrinate our children. That's indoctrinate right. any children.
It's a bit of an overreach.
Absolutely. It's totally wrong. Yes. And this is where the left have been pushing things. Mm-hmm. And so the pendulum is now swinging. Mm. But now, okay, we've got promote love of country with authentic civic education. That's fine. But now, have you got number 8 there?
Freedom to pray.
Freedom to pray. Read this. You got to read this.
Republicans will champion the First Amendment right to pray and read the Bible in school and stand up to those who violate the religious freedoms of American students.
All right. Now, let's break this down a little bit. Do you think it is right for the government to protect people who want to pray
Absolutely.
At school? Absolutely. Absolutely. Whether you're Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist,
people
whatever.
Should have the freedom to practice their faith.
Absolutely. And the freedom to be able to read their
Provided
Bible if they
want. Provided that faith is safe for everyone.
All right. Okay. Now question number two. Do you think that it's appropriate, according to scripture, according to this separation of church and state, that schools have a mandate to teach biblical Christianity as the worldview, as the religious worldview in that school, if it is a state school, and that teachers ought to be forced to pray and to, you could say, indoctrinate students in a public school, I'm not talking about a private school, in a public school with the Ten Commandments, with the Bible, and so on and so forth, as this becomes a template.
I'm for all of those things.
Yes.
But I would consider that not a place where I would force it on people, because you've got people sending their families, kids to these places from many different places. They might find that offensive. And I think, I would have it as an option. Like if you want to have a class where, you know, people have, you know, different streams, so maybe Christians want to go here and some want to go there, but I wouldn't force it on people.
Like Bible in schools, we've got religious education in schools here in Australia
at the moment. That's right. So you can have, and they break up into different
groups. That's
right,
but the parents need to give permission.
That's right.
But what
I haven't got a problem with that.
What if it was part of the curriculum?
I mean, and
it was mandated.
Yeah.
And this is just how things were. That would be a problem, wouldn't it?
Would be a problem because of where it can go from there.
Exactly.
It sets a precedent.
Exactly. So this is where that fine line, and it's such a fine line.
It is. And that's why, like I said, I'm talking to people and they're excited. Trump's in office. It's wonderful. We're going to bring the Bible back. They're excited about the speech he's made about the Bible. And like right now, it does sound wonderful. And I know that the principles of scripture are a blessing and a benefit. They blessed my life, you know.
Absolutely.
But I wouldn't force it on anyone else.
Just like those that are, in favor and continue to be in favor and stand up for the separation of church and state. And we're going to look at them in a little bit. But this is where the danger is. And we got to remember with deception, it's not like straight out. It's not blatant.
Otherwise it wouldn't be deception.
It's so, so close.
Subtle.
Very subtle. Well, look, how does the Bible describe the serpent?
Counterfeit.
Counterfeit. The counterfeit, you don't have counterfeit $15 bills.
No.
So, I mean, the stuff that is shared by Donald Trump and the Republican Party, I'm like wholeheartedly sold out on.
Sounds great.
It's powerful, like getting rid of a lot of these things that are very harmful to society, harmful to families, building up the family unit, building up marriage and family, protecting the unborn.
Yep.
You know, all these things we as Christians would be totally in favor of. You know, bringing back common sense. That's
yes.
Chapter 8.
Mm-hmm.
Bring common sense to government and renew the pillars of American civilization. Absolutely. Absolutely. We believe in all that. However, the issue is that this is part of that pendulum swing potentially.
Mm-hmm.
We will see where it goes, but we've only got a minute, and after that minute, I'm going to be reading to you from Donald Trump's plug or his promotion on the God Bless the USA Bible.
Mm-hmm.
As I was going through this last night, just, you know, pulling it all together, I was like, wow, this sounded like the voice of the dragon more and more.
Really?
And more. Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. So we're going to go through it when we come back. But this is just telling us that we are now heading into very interesting territory. And Donald Trump is certainly shaking up the establishment. He's invited people like Elon Musk and others to be part of his crew and many others. And so we are in for a very, very interesting time in the coming days. But when we get back, we're going to take a look at how this fits into Bible prophecy.
Awesome. Let's listen to Marion Blythe Peppers bring to us a song entitled Search for Me. And then, as Danny said, we'll get right into the Trump's Bible. Interested.
Sit beside me while I weep. I'm crying to you on bended knee. My child, to set you free.
beside me while I weep. I'm crying to you on bended knee. I know you are there, though far you seem. So I'm clinging to you, hold on to me.
Listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Hey, it's Lyle here. There's nothing I love more than digging deep into the Bible, and I really love helping others understand God's Word. Every Thursday at 5 p.m, I have a segment on the Afternoons with Shell show where I answer all your Bible questions. Big or small, simple or hard, it will get answered. Whether you have a question you want to send in, or you just want to learn from others, tune in at 5 p.m. Thursday and text 0488880856.
Faith looks up.
This is the Looking Up Show. Time is flying today.
It is.
I'll just repeat the code word. LU24 consider is the word for today's giveaway. Bible readings, straight answers from God's word. LU24 consider. Text it through to 0488-817-624.
All right, my friend. Let's continue on this journey. We've only got one section left, but this is part one of maybe 10 parts. Not sure how many parts there'll be. But if you want to read, so we've established the United States of America is this power in verse 11. It starts off well as it is to this point. It still is in that place. The separation of church and state is alive and well still in the United States, but unfortunately it won't be, all the way through. Verse 12 tells us what the main role of the United States will be at the end of time. Do you want to read verse 12, Revelation 13?
Yes. The Bible says, "And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed."
Okay, so who is this first beast that had a deadly wound but it was healed? Who is this in reference to? Or what power is this in reference to?
This is the papacy.
This is the Roman papacy that we have there in Revelation 13.
The sea beast
in Revelation 13 verses 1 to 10. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how will this all take place? Okay, verse 13, it tells us how this merger between church and state, and we're going to have that a lot more clearly displayed in verse 14, but how will this all take place? And we're going to do a whole study on this, but do you want to just read verse 13?
"He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men."
Okay, so fire coming down from heaven in Scripture is often associated with the work of God. Isn't that right?
Yes.
The work of God all the way down from Genesis.
Elijah,
Pentecost,
the temple.
You've got Elijah going up in a fiery chariot.
Fire came down on Sodom and Gomorrah.
Absolutely. Fire. You've got those, the Elisha, Elijah? I think it might have been Elijah that was being mocked.
Yes.
And he calls fire down from heaven.
Yep.
So you've got the disciples, James and John, asking Jesus to call down fire from heaven to destroy this Samaritan village that did not welcome Jesus and his disciples. So all the way through, we've got fire. So when fire is are mentioned in Scripture. 99 times out of 100, it's in connection with the Word of God and with the will of God. Mm-hmm. Not just with the Word of God, but with
the will and work of God.
The will and work of God. That's exactly right. Yeah, the will and work of God. Except for one occasion that I'm aware of. You may know more, but I'm only aware of one other time when fire comes down from heaven and it's not the direct will and work of God. And that's the story of Job.
Oh,
the story of Job.
I was trying to think.
When Satan brings down fire from heaven in Job chapter 1, you can go home and read it. Job chapter 1, fire comes down from heaven and destroys the servants and the sheep of Job.
Right.
Satan's the one that brings that fire down. So this is telling us that at the end of time, there's going to be this fire, whether it's physical or spiritual. But what will be shaped, what will be taking shape in America as it gives its authority and power to the mandate and the plans of the Roman papacy, mm-hmm. will be seen as this is from God.
Right. Just a quick plug again. Someone's trying to get their code word.
Oh, yes.
Just a reminder, L-U-2-4, consider. Just CONSIDER, LU24, consider. That's the code word for today, 0488-81764.
Fantastic, fantastic. And now, think about Donald Trump. When he was elected, his first speech there as he accepted the
late
victory.
Late hours of the night.
Late hours, about 2 o'clock in the morning in the morning. U.S. It was sort of in the afternoon, evening here on Wednesday afternoon sometime. I don't know what time it was. I was in Norfolk at the time. But he said that many people have said to me that my life was spared by God for a reason.
Mm.
And he said, I believe that reason was to save our country.
Hmm.
He clearly credits his life being preserved as an act of God, a miraculous act of God. A lot of headlines, miracle by millimeters, you know, saved Donald Trump's life. So we know that he's been, you know, in bed with the evangelicals because he wants to be elected. So there's two things going on here. This is like a carbon copy of what happened 2,000 years ago, where church and state united to put Jesus on the cross. The two sides at the moment in the United States, they've got both one thing in common. The evangelicals or the Christians there, I'm talking about the Christian nationalists in particular, they want God back into the country. You know, they want all these terrible things that they see going on, they want them eliminated. They want God back in the nation. They want the United States to be a land that is blessed by God, living in harmony with his moral principles. And then you've got another individual who wants to be in power. He wants to be the president. So the two have come together, right? And it's interesting what Donald Trump has promised. He's promised that he, if he's elected, will bring God back into the nation. Now, you talked about the God Bless America Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It has, and I'm just going to read, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm just going to read a little bit here from this 3 minutes and 15 second Trump promo by Donald Trump. People can go online, they can watch it, God Bless the USA Bible. So he says, I'm proud to be partnering with my good friend Lee Greenwood. And he says he's the one behind
the song
God Bless the USA, which is the song that is played always as he's about to go onto the stage. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a song that he's played. When his victory speech, that was the song that was played as he was making his way out. And they were also singing the song, I shared it with you, How Great Thou Art.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh my, you know, How Great Thou Art. Incredible.
Judah's favorite song.
Yeah, beautiful hymn. Well, there you go. He would have been singing along if he was there.
Yeah.
He says, in connection with promoting the God Bless the USA Bible, he says the Bible is a King James Version and also includes our founding documents, the Constitution, which I'm fighting for every single day and trying to keep Americans protected. He says it also includes the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Pledge of Allegiance are all in the God Bless the USA Bible. Church and state united in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then he goes on, and I just want to share a little bit. He says, many of you have never read them, speaking of the Constitution and don't know the liberties and rights you have as Americans and how you are being threatened to lose those rights. It's happening all the time. It's a very sad thing that's going on in our country, but we're going to get it turned around. And then notice these words. Religion and Christianity are the biggest things missing from this country. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that we need to bring them back, and we have to bring them back fast. These are Donald Trump's words. I think it's one of the biggest problems we have. That's why our country is going haywire. We've lost religion in our country. All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book. Interestingly enough, it's a lot of people's favorite book. It says the Bible is a reminder that the biggest thing we have to bring back to America and to make America great again is our religion. Religion is so important. It's so missing. But it's going to come back, and it's going to come back strong. This is church and state coming uniting
together. Yeah,
from the horse's mouth.
That's amazing.
Just like our country is going to come back strong, in the end, we do not answer. Listen to this, Charissa. You got your seatbelt on.
I'm listening.
Listen to this. In the end, we do not answer to bureaucrats in Washington. We answer to the God in heaven.
Amen.
I believe that. But when you bring God into government and you make laws.
Forcing the wrong things.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Goes too far.
Christians are under siege. We must protect content that is pro-God. We love God. And
this is why Christians are excited.
This is why they're very excited. Exactly right. It says we have to protect anything that is pro-God. We must defend God in the public square and not allow the media or the left-wing groups to silence, censor, or discriminate against us. Yeah, I believe that. Mm. But will that go too far? The Bible says it will. It says we have to bring Christianity back into our lives and back into what will be again a great nation. Can you see he's combining Christianity with America being great again? Can you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely clear, crystal clear.
Absolutely.
He says our founding fathers did a tremendous thing when they built America on a Judeo-Christian value. Now that foundation is under attack, perhaps as never before. What can we do? Stand up, speak out, and pray that God will bless America again. He says, I'm proud to endorse and encourage you to get this Bible. We must make America pray again. He says that.
Make America pray again.
He literally said that. We must make America pray again.
Wow.
Pray and get educated. Get motivated and stand with me and the legions of Americans asking God to bless our great nation, to bring our great nation back and to make America great again. I'm proud to partner with. And he goes on and he says, and then he finishes off his saying, you know, let's make America pray again.
Wow.
God bless you and God bless the USA.
Wow. Well, everything's just moving right into place, isn't it?
It is. And he says, we need to not waste our time. We mm-hmm. need to get things happening sooner rather than
later.
Watch
this space.
And so what's happened is that the pendulum has swung so far left, and Daniel chapter 11 describes this pendulum swing.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Daniel chapter 11. We've got to read Daniel chapter 11, and we're just going to read verse 40. Don't have time to unpack that whole passage from verse 40 to verse 45, which is that end time passage that Revelation 13 also talks about.
Yeah.
But Daniel chapter 11 describes this left-right pendulum swing. Okay, Daniel 11, and read verse 40 to me, please.
At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships, and he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through.
Okay. So now, just real brief, really, really brief. The king of the south here is representative of Egypt, in a symbolic sense.
Geographically south.
Geographically south of Jerusalem was Egypt, and Egypt was known, and Egypt appears again in the book of Revelation, as you know, Charissa. You know, Sodom and Egypt there in Revelation 11.
Yes.
So Egypt is known for secularism, for atheism. Who is this God that I should fear him, said Pharaoh,
mm-hmm.
right? Whereas the king of the north here is papacy, mm-hmm. okay? The Roman papacy, which is north of Jerusalem.
Correct.
Okay, so this is what we have in an end time context, okay? And so it tells us that the king of the south at the end will attack the king of the north. And guess what happened? The French Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
You've got it there in Revelation chapter 11. It spells it out in great detail where you've got the French Revolution that wages war against God and the Bible and the principles of Christianity. And since the French Revolution, we have had a left-leaning and a left trajectory on how governments have functioned, especially in the Western world, mm-hmm. to the point now where anything goes. But it says the King of the North, which is the Roman papacy, joining together with Protestantism, will come against him and will overwhelm him. Mm. That is Revelation 13:3, where this deadly wound is healed. Can you
see
that?
Amazing.
Absolutely. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's just happening. So a couple more headlines. This is really interesting. And these guys have got no idea that this is prophetic, these news headlines.
That's right.
But they're like scratching their heads wondering how on earth did this all happen.
Yeah.
Here's from ABC News. This was Saturday, November 9th, so a couple of days after the election. ABC News, Trump's behavior doesn't scream, blessed are the meek. But once again, Christian voters helped him win the White House. And he has told him, you put me in and I'm going to give you power
like
such
you've
as
never
you
had before.
We are seeing the coming together, my friend, at no other time. And guess what? J.D. Vance is. He's gone from an atheist to a Roman Catholic.
That's right.
What's Donald Trump's wife?
She's also Roman Catholic.
She's also a Roman Catholic.
But I think his daughter's Jew. Jewish.
Yes, she's a Jew because she's married to Jared Kushner, who's a Jew. And so you've got this pendulum swinging the other way. And for the first time in a long time, the Catholic voters, a great majority of them, I'm not sure if it was the majority over 50%, but a huge number voted for Donald Trump. And that was part of swinging the election. Here we go. This is a headline. We're about to run out of time. This was from the Daily Caller. Numbers are shocking, is the headline. Catholic voters played key role in sinking Kamala Harris's presidential bid. Mm. Do you think Donald Trump is going to have more of an affinity with the Church of Rome because they helped getting him into office?
Oh, sure.
Will the Church of Rome and Protestantism come together at the end of time?
Yes.
Yes, it will. And that's for our next show. Next show, we're going to unpack that. we're going to look at some statements from 100 years ago.
Amazing.
That are describing what these news headlines are telling us is happening right now.
Look, this is exciting stuff. We're going to listen to Marlita Fong bring to us Pray On. And then we'll wrap up this amazing news with some final thoughts.
Judah was paralyzed by fear when they heard a mighty multitude was quickly drawing near. But as they prayed for deliverance, the victory would begin. For when we call upon the Lord, we summon all of heaven. Pray on, for you are
Was Mali Tufong bringing to us a powerful song, Pray On, and this brings us to the end of our broadcast
and
today.
And Malita happens to be Charissa's lovely sister.
She is indeed.
I can't believe we're at the end, my friend.
It goes fast.
It does zip along. We've only got a few minutes left as we wrap up. I do want to share with you a powerful quote from that book, The Great Controversy. We can't go to the end of this program without giving you a quote on this. And we've talked about this church and state union, and there's heaps more that we're going to look at.
Yes.
I'll give you a trailer before I get to this. This is where we're going next week. We're looking at, I'm just going to give the headlines. J.D. Vance used to be an atheist. What he believes now is telling. Here's another one from MSNBC. Trump tells Christian leaders that America would be better off if they were more powerful. Trump pledges direct access for faith leaders in the Oval Office. Trump vows to create task force combating anti-Christian bias, and so on and so forth. So that's for next week. But listen to these words. Great Controversy, chapter 25, God's Law Immutable, written over 100 years ago in connection with what's happening in the United States of America right now. When the early church became corrupted by departing from the simplicity of the gospel and accepting heathen rites and customs, she lost the spirit and power of God. And in order to control the consciences of the people, she sought the support of the secular power. That's exactly what's happening right now. The result was the papacy, a church that controlled the power of the state and employed it to further her own ends, especially for the punishment of heresy. In order for the United States to form an image of the beast, that's Revelation 13, the religious power must so control the civil government that the authority of the state will be also employed by the church to accomplish her own ends.
Wow.
These words were written over 100 years ago. Donald Trump has promised
to make them happen,
to give the church power, unprecedented power, to ensure that God is in charge of the White House and not bureaucrats. We just read that from him. So we are seeing things taking place before our very eyes that are telling us that, the trumpet may sound sooner rather than later.
Yes.
May sound sooner rather than
Jesus
later.
Jesus is coming soon.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. So where do we go to from here? I just want to share, from Revelation 13 verse 8, where there in the heat of the crisis, that end time crisis, the Bible says that all who dwell on the earth will worship him. That is this beast power. They're going to go along with this final end time worship system that will be rolled out against God and his word and his law. Whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Not all will worship. There will be those who have their names written in the Lamb's book of life, who is slain from the foundation of the world, and that's Jesus Christ, who will not bow the knee. Like the three boys on the plain of Jura, and like Daniel, they will not bow the knee, regardless of what the consequences may be. They will remain faithful to Jesus Christ and Him alone. And now's the time for us.
They'll make a decisive choice like that Swiss footballer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, my friend, why don't you pray for us
as we
bring this program to an end ever so fast.
Oh, Lord, we thank you so much for your word, which truly is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. As we see these things unfolding all around us, Lord, it gives us encouragement and hope because we know that Jesus is soon to come. We pray for every listener, Lord, as they desire a closer walk with you, as they desire to understand your word. Bless them. May your Holy Spirit guide them. And Lord, prepare us to meet Jesus when he comes. We love you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Exciting times.
Oh, yes. Signs of the times are everywhere. As the song says, there's a brand new feeling in the air. Look up, keep your eyes, because Jesus is coming soon. Thank you so much for joining us. Stay on this channel because there's another another live show, the Drive Time Show, coming to everybody right now from Adelaide in just a few moments. And as you heard, there's lots to look forward to next week.
Part two.
Maybe tell a friend. I'll share the podcast with them so they can also be encouraged and inspired by what's being shared here. And until next time, always remember that fear looks around and regret looks back, but not faith. It's different. Faith always looks up, so keep looking up, and may God bless you all.
Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up should the tears begin to start. With a prayer, all your cares he will cast into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me.